For an inside look at the state's biggest footy league, it's the Monday Waffle.
Hello, welcome to the Monday Waffle, episode 24. My name is James.
Return of the King.
Return of the King. And look, we'll do this straight off the bat, mate. Congratulations, you've won the tipping competition for this year. I should have crowned you last week, but you were on flying. Were you flying at that stage?
I was on a plane, back to P-Town, so yeah. Yes.
So anyway, we've got you here now. Congratulations.
Yeah, I came in basically to gloat, Jake, was the reason for my being here.
I was wondering why you're a bit keen.
Yeah, had a look at the finals table, the final tipping standings, and thought, what a good time to come in and make a waffle appearance.
Now, you had it sewn up from about 4 weeks out before the end of the season. It was very hard for anyone to catch you.
I was the Subiaco Lions of this year's tipping competition.
Yeah.
I didn't actually have a very strong last few weeks. I reckon I averaged about two for the remaining five rounds. But the early hard work that I put in at the start of the season paid dividends. In the end, Josh Money walks home with the trophy.
Yeah, now I was the opposite. I had a very slow start to the year and brought it home quite convincingly, but I couldn't catch you. So congratulations.
You could have made some money, Jake. You could have taken the bookies to the cleaners if you'd put down a few bets these last few rounds. I reckon you've been hitting four pretty consistently. So.
Yeah, well, look, I just now... Well, hindsight's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
I could
have done that a lot earlier. Now, we do have a trophy for you, mate. We're going to get that to you tomorrow because I forgot it.
That's all right. I've heard really good things about this trophy.
Yeah, so we'll be putting that on the website and on the Facebook page tomorrow. So, mate, well done.
Thanks, Jake. You too. Sorry. Sorry, you just couldn't pit me in the end. What That's was the right. final difference?
I think you got me by five.
Jeez.
Yeah, so it was always going to be tough because there's only four games each round. But anyway, hey, look, we're going to get stuck into it because it was the first week of the finals. It was a ripping weekend for one team. Well, a couple of teams. Not so for Peel Thunder, but we'll get to them shortly. We're going to kick straight into it with East Perth Claremont, mates. The elimination final, Tigers out. So there's only four left standing now. So, look, they really took it up to him up until three-quarter time, the Tigers, but were kept goalless in that last quarter. So, disappointing end for the season for the Tigers.
Yeah, I mean, looking at how they started the season, there was, you know, all these sorts of crisis talks. They were playing in their home away from home. I mean, it was looking pretty diabolical. And I think the direct, we can sort of key it back to when Jake Battrick took over as the announcing job there at Tigerland.
Yeah.
And there was just a resurgence of confidence that ran through the whole club. I'm not saying it was all you, Jake, but at least 90%.
I'll leave it at 90 because the first game I did ground announce for Claremont, Perth won their first game in like 15 rounds. So I was thinking, oh God,
that's
is
where
be...
the other 10% comes from. Yeah.
Yeah. But after that, the Tigers were pretty unstoppable at home. But yeah, obviously had the great win last week up at West Perth to get into the finals and all that hype. We spoke to Kepler Bradley last week and the boys were up and about, that's for sure, for this weekend. But couldn't get the job done.
And they did look pretty fired up, in fairness. And like you said, that sort of that third quarter, East Perth, their finals experience, they've been in two of the last grand finals. I think that experience through the ranks kind of shown through, and they just seem to have a little bit of extra legs there at the end as well.
Absolutely. Now, we've got Mark Reddings waiting in the wings to have a run through of this game, as, of course, Channel 7 covered it. But I want to talk to you quickly, mate. I was up at Joondalup on the weekend sitting... quite high in the grandstand where all the men in suits sit, if you will. And I overheard a couple of very interesting things. Obviously, we've got the whole debacle with Channel 7 and the Footy Commission versus the Channel 9-sponsored West Perth Football Club. Now, I heard a man say, I can't say his name because I don't know who he was, but I heard a man in a suit...
Good journalism there.
I heard a man in a suit say that either 7 or the Footy Commission may be hiding something. Now, I also heard him say that West Perth strongly believe they've done nothing wrong in this whole situation. We're going to get Mark Reddings to run us through it in more depth shortly. But look, he did say that he thought 7 and the Footy Commission were either hiding something or there is actually no contract in place for this rights deal. Now, that's pretty explosive details. And, mate, I'd be keeping an eye out this week for something pretty big to come out.
Yeah, and when you talk to blokes like Mark Reddings and you talk to these middlemen who really probably don't have much say, it's probably coming, these decisions are coming from a higher level. But you have to think, it's a small town, Perth, and everyone knows that there is a growing rivalry, whether it's news, whether it's just for broadcast numbers, between Channel 7 and between 9. It gets sort of more and more vicious each and every year. And you'd have to think that that's coming at the detriment of the West Australian Football Commission, because one would think, the more broadcasters you have, the more exposure you have, the better for the competition, the better for the fan base. And speaking of fan bases, I think West Perth, the Falcons, have about the strongest average attendance in the league. So that would indicate that they're probably the most popular team, or one of the most popular teams in the entire waffle. The fact that their games aren't being broadcast is, I'm sure there are reasons for both 7 and 9's actions, but the fact that they're not being broadcast is coming at a huge detriment to the waffle and to fans of the waffle.
Absolutely. Well, we'll just look at this weekend. There was over 300 more people at the West Perth game than there was at East Perth v Claremont. So, I mean, the numbers don't lie. There's a lot of people getting behind the Falcons. Now, I'm not saying that there's no contract in place or whatever, but it's what I heard.
You're saying there might be.
I'm just saying there might be something big to come out this week or next week, but there might not be either. So now, yeah, as you were saying before, I mean, I think the wider issue here, it's the growth of the game at not only waffle level, but at grassroots level. Now, I noticed throughout this year that Claremont, because I was ground announcing, half the time they wouldn't have a little league team playing at half time. Now, every time I've been up to the Falcons, they've had little leagues, the ground was full of people kicking the footy, and obviously the love for football in the northern suburbs is huge, and at grassroots level, it's absolutely booming. So, look, they've got to sort it out, because there's a lot of fans confused. Firstly, confused. They don't even know what's going on. And for the love of the game, I mean, just...
Well, it's interesting that you touched on it, because the numbers of juniors who are playing footy are going down, and you're seeing other sports like your soccers and these sorts of things going up. So if you want to get kids involved and inspired from a local level and say, I'd like to play for the Falcons, or I'd like to play for East Perth, then you need to get... greater exposure and like you said, a bigger focus on your local teams.
Absolutely. Now, we've kept him waiting long enough, and joining us on the line now is, as always, Channel 7's Mark Reddings. Mark, how are we going today?
Good morning, boys. Good to catch up with you on this Monday.
Now, you guys covered the Royals versus Claremont. Now, the Royals got the job done 13-15-93 to 9-7-61, but the Tigers really took it up to them till three-quarter time.
Absolutely. They got to within a kick on a couple of occasions, but simply when the game was there to be won, particularly in the last quarter, East Perth stepped it up, their midfield dominant, the likes of Brendan Lee outstanding. In attack, they had Rowan Powell with three goals, terrific. A good spread of contributors, and the numbers really all day suggested that East Perth should be further in front. But as you said, Claremont hung in there. Bo Meister up in attack with three goals was really pivotal to keeping them in the game. But 32 points to the final margin, and the Tigers in the last quarter held scoreless. So really disappointing fade-out for them when they were within 5 points at the last change.
Mark, you touched on the West Coast rookie Rowan Powell. How promising was his performance?
We've seen East Perth a couple of times this year, but this was clearly his best performance in my mind. He's a rangy, slim customer who moves well, very silky skills. The way he goes about it, I think Adam Simpson, who was there at the ground yesterday, would have been highly impressed with what he saw. He's not a 2015 player for the Eagles, but certainly going forward in the next couple of years, I think he could be a real find, because he's the prototype athlete that finds its way into the AFL, and his skills are second to none.
Now, East Perth play Peel next week. Peel were extremely ordinary yesterday, but they'll get some handy ins next week. How good's that game going to be?
Well, you'd expect them to make sharp improvement. As we all know, they lost a lot of players to the Fremantle Dockers on the weekend, but they'll get most of those back. Brady Gray, for instance, who played a pretty good game for Freo, he'll bolster their midfield, as will Jacob Ballard. So expect a completely different side to take on East Perth. We saw these two teams only a few weeks back, and East Perth dominated that game. So, look, the Royals, they have to win four games to win the premiership. I think they fancy their chances against Peel on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, the Royals have been pretty up and down this year, but when they've hit their straps, they've looked really good. How far can this East Perth outfit go, do you think?
Well, they've got some experienced players, some hardened bodies, and blokes that have been in finals campaigns. They've reached two of the last two grand finals. So off the back of that, you'd expect them to be pretty tough, particularly at moments in games where younger, inexperienced players might just not show the poise required. I suspect the likes of Craig Wolf, Brendan Lee, Paul Johnson, all really seasoned campaigners, might be pretty tough to hold out on Sunday.
And finally, Mark, I was up at HBF Arena yesterday talking to some members of the crowd. Now, I'd like to know what's happening with this Channel 7 versus West Perth debacle, because there's a lot of very confused supporters out there in Moffat Land.
No, I'd like to know the answer as well, young man, because negotiations, as far as I'm aware, are continuing. Footy Commission has threatened sanctions against West Perth. The Falcons aren't budging. Channel 9, the other party, has no interest in resolving the dispute for WA footy. They're keen to just keep this going as long as possible. So on that basis, I'm just, as I say, the middleman. We just cover it. And at this stage, West Perth, still no resolution. But we would like to have their games covered, particularly the prelim, if it's the case, or the grand final. So working towards that, and hopefully we find that resolution.
Is that resolution close, do you think? Do you have a gut feeling of how far away we are from getting to some sort of conclusion here?
Well, it has to be close in terms of the time we have left, because next week, if all things being equal, West Perth do get beaten by Subiaco this weekend, then we're looking at a prelim final they're involved with. So you'd have to think that in the next week there has to be some kind of a decision either way, whether it's Channel 7 not covering those West Perth matches, or indeed the Falcons coming to the party with regards to their dispute with the Footy Commission over the fact that the Footy Commission believes they've breached their licensing agreement. So there's a few subplots here. A few facts haven't quite come out, which are starting to come through now, which there's been a bit of criticism of the Footy Commission and Channel 7. But I think once all the facts are laid on the table, certainly it's not as clear-cut. And there's certainly two arguments to this story, for sure.
Mark, can't wait for a conclusion for that one. Thanks for your time this morning, mate. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, boys. Have a good day.
From the studios of ECU, you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
It was a qualifying final up at HBF Arena yesterday between West Perth and Peel Thunder. The Thunder playing their first ever final in the Waffle, and look, it didn't really go to plan for the boys from Peel. They lost 22-13, 145 to 5-6-36, an absolute doing over.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's one of the biggest finals deficits of all time in Waffle history. Absolute spank.
Now, to put it in perspective, Peel took a 2-goal lead into quarter time, and then West Perth got a massive spray from coach Bill Monahan. And after quarter time, West Perth kicked 21 goals 11 to 2-4 after quarter time.
Yeah, Peel went home after the first quarter. They weren't even there.
I think Peel coach Cam Shepherd was thinking, "All right, we know we can do this final stuff in the first quarter. Everybody just rest up for next week."
It's such a shame. I mean, they do have two bites at the cherry with this final system, but their first final in such a long time. The way that Fremantle, rightly or wrongly, came and ransacked half their team. I mean, a couple of the established players who Freo didn't pick, your Leroy Jetters and your Gerald Ugles, they played well, and you know there were some admirable performances, but it was just men versus boys out there, really.
It's just, after quarter time, West Perth just took the game by the scruff of the neck and just bullied Peel. Absolutely bullied him.
Now, Aaron Black, 42 touches. Don't mind if you do.
Yeah, thanks for coming. Now, we'll get into it shortly, but Nick Rodder was up forward this week. West Perth trying a few different things. He kicked 4 goals. Mick Lowry kicked 3, Matty Fowler kicked 2, Rowan Kerr kicked 2, and then singles to Adams, Bartholomew, Black, Strike, Rasmussen, the ultimate swingman, Lane Rasmussen. G'day, Lane, if you're listening. Steve Patente, Cody Manning, Lynch, Nelson, Keitel, and Johnson all with singles. So an extensive goal-kicking list there, and just West Perth really gearing up for Subi next week.
I think they're just gearing up for Channel 7, really, because I mean, the execs watching that game, well, they couldn't have watched it, but if they were down there, would be shaking in their boots, because it's looking highly likely that we're going to have a, if not a prelim final with West Perth involved, a grand final.
So, definitely.
There are a lot for the 2,800 Falcon fans to be excited and cheering about on Saturday, or Sunday, I should say.
Absolutely. I will quickly run through some of the other best-ons. Drew Road had arguably his best game in the red and blue. He had 30 disposals from the back line, so that just goes to show that the ball was getting sort of to about halfway.
And stopping.
And stopping, and then just straight back down into Westbird's forward 50. Marcus Adams had 27 disposals and a goal. Rowan Kerr, 33 touches. Aiden Lynch, 24. Luke Tedesco, 30. Trent Manzoni, 32. Just an absolute domination by West Perth.
Jake, how do you expect to see Peel perform next week against the Royals now after what we've seen? There will be an influx of regulars back in the team. But, I mean, can you come back from this?
I think Mark Redding's earlier put it just spot on that they're going to change a few things. And when I say a few, I mean a lot. They're going to change
almost
a lot.
Everything.
Next week. They've got some ripping ins. Cam Shepherd is, look, he's done a remarkable job to get them to the first ever final. So he's not going to want to go out in the fashion that they did yesterday. Like, you know, they're gonna come out firing. So look, to be honest, I actually think they can bounce back and get up against East Perth, because to me Claremont have looked tired. They looked tired yesterday and the week before, even though they got the job done over West Perth to get into the finals. But I think Peel, they're going to be fresh. Some Dockers players will be wanting to play well, just in case some injuries happen during the finals. And
good point.
They could be playing finals. So look, Peel down at Bendigo Bank Stadium as well. There'll be, I reckon we'll get at least 5,000 people down there. Everyone's going to get down to this game. It's going to be an absolute ripper. And look, I think Peel might get the job done.
East Perth don't always travel well. They're very strong at Medibank, but it'll be a very interesting tie.
Definitely. And look, Josh, to run us through the game yesterday from the West Perth point of view, we've got their skipper, Jay Vambello, on the line. Jay, congratulations on the win yesterday, mate. Gee, it was nice to get the boys into a bit of form heading into the rest of the finals.
Yeah, definitely. It was nice to, I guess, kick a big winning score, but we started poorly, and so I guess that'll be the focus going into this week's game against Subi, is to make sure there's no lapses throughout the game and we can give a four-quarter performance, because yesterday was a bit disappointing that we started very slowly.
Yeah, Bill Monaghan looked pretty animated at quarter time. Can you give us an idea as to what he sort of said to rally the boys?
Yeah, basically he gave us a fair spray and said the way we were approaching the game wasn't good enough and wasn't how we'd like to handle ourselves. So he more or less just gave us a fair clip and and said to pull our finger out and get to work and start winning the contested ball and being a bit more accountable around the ground.
Now, you guys tried a few different things yesterday. Nick Rodder up forward, kicked four goals. How important is it to sort of change it up a bit and keep the opposition guessing going into the pointy end of the finals?
Yeah, it was a bit of a plan going into the game that we might be able to stretch Peel with some height forward. So it's great to have some versatility amongst our players. We've got Marcus, Nick Rodder and Tyler Keitel can all play forward or back at the moment, so it's great to be able to throw them around the ground and know that they can hold the position well and get a win for us. And on the weekend it was Rod's turn to go forward and he did a great job, and would have been nice if he kicked a bit straighter, but at the end of the day he still got the four goals and did well for us.
Jay, there's been a lot of talk about this Channel 7 deal or lack of Channel 7 deal. What sort of effects that having on the club? And are you boys getting extra motivation sort of playing in spite of that?
To be honest, it hasn't affected the playing group at all. At the start of the year, it was a bit of a shock when we found out we weren't going to get televised at all throughout the year. But since then, it's honestly been well accepted by the boys, and we've just got on with what we can on the, and that is on the field. We let the board and the management and the waffle deal with the rest of the stuff off field, but we can only control what we can control as the players, and that's to put on good performances on field, and what happens with everything off field.
At Subi next week, how are you feeling heading into that?
Yeah, look, Subi, a formidable opponent. They've been the most consistent side, without a doubt, throughout the year, and they're certainly playing some good footy all year. So, you know, we're going to have to be at our very best to take it up to them. But I'm sure it'll be a hard-fought contest, as always is with us and Subi. So we really look forward to it.
Jay Van Bello, thanks so much for joining us on the Monday Waffle, mate. Really appreciate it, and good luck heading into next week.
Easy, boys. Thanks.
I'm Dennis Cometti. If I'm listening to the Monday Waffle, then you should be too.
Well, Josh, it's that's all we got time for, mate.
Devastated.
It's short and sweet, given it's final. So, look, mate, you've been best on ground today. So, look, appreciate it.
Thanks, mate. Really enjoyed it. Looking forward to my trophy. Make sure you keep an eye out on the Facebook page for my gleaming, gloating face.
Just self-promoting the win. You're going to do a tour around, yes. Around WA with the trophy.
Don't let the cat out the bag too early, but I am looking. I'm talking to a promoter. I'm looking at a local tour. Nothing big, just your Margaret Rivers, your Albanese. Your
a few pubs.
Yeah, just a couple of pubs, a couple of signings.
Absolutely, mate. Thanks so much for joining me. Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, and we'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.